And welcome to another episode of the Biome Podcast, where we delve into the mysteries and wonders of our natural world. I am Graham, your host. Now, each month this season, the podcast has a theme that extends through both episodes of that month. The theme for April is the exciting topic of gliding in the animal kingdom. From squirrels to fish to even reptiles, the ability for animals to glide has been found and developed numerous times. So now's your chance to satisfy your curiosity. We're calling on you, our listeners, to submit your most intriguing questions about the gliding, or about gliding rather. Have you ever seen an animal glide? I know sugar gliders are common pets, and they are also some of the cutest. We want to hear from you. Send us your best pictures of your gliding pet, or when you have seen wildlife glide. We'd love to hear your stories. You can contact us on social media at biome.media or on our website, where you can leave a voice note or even just send us an email at questions@thebiomepodcast.com. So become part of the exploration. Your curiosity could lead us to uncover stories and facts that shine a light on some of the most interesting tidbits of information. In our next episode, we might jump into some of your questions and stories if you decide to share those with us. Also, if you have suggestions for themes in future months, please send us those as well. With that being said though, let's jump right into our animal spotlight section. Welcome, nature enthusiasts, to another fascinating animal spotlight section, where we delve deep into the wonders of the natural world and the incredible creatures that call it home. Today, we embark on a journey through the dense canopies of Southeast Asia, a realm where earth meets sky in the most unusual ways. This month, our theme is all about gliding, and we couldn't explore this fascinating topic without shining the spotlight on one of the most extraordinary gliders of the animal kingdom, the Draco lizards. Imagine, if you will, a world where trees are the towers of the forest, and the ground is almost like another planet far below. Now imagine navigating this vertical landscape not by climbing or jumping, but by gliding without wings. How, do you ask? Enter the Draco lizard, nature's own wingless aviator, whose life in the treetops offer a mesmerizing glimpse into the marvels of evolution and adaptation. But what drives a lizard to take to the air, and how does this ability shape its life and behavior, from high stakes of territorial disputes to the intricate dance of mating rituals? These are just some of the questions we'll explore as we glide through the life of the Draco lizard, uncovering the secrets behind this unique adaptation and the role it plays in the rich world of its ecosystem. So, why do Draco lizards glide? How do they navigate the aerial world? And what can their story tell us about survival and the wonders of adaptation? Stay tuned as we embark on this journey together to unravel the mysteries of these fascinating creatures. So, to get started, the canopy layer of tropical rainforests is a bustling metropolis of biodiversity. It's where the Draco lizards perform their aerial ballet. But what makes this high-rise habitat so crucial for their survival, and how do they fit into this complex ecosystem? The canopy offers a rich mosaic of food, shelter, and breeding grounds, crucial for the survival of Draco lizards. These gliders feast primarily on ants and termites, which abound in the tree bark and leaves, making the canopy a bountiful dining area. But their diet is a critical part of the forest's ecological balance, controlling insect populations and preventing overgrazing of vegetation. Interestingly, the choice of trees these lizards inhabit, is no random act. Draco lizards prefer trees with broad leaves and dense foliage that provides ample launching pads for gliding and rich hunting grounds. The structure of these trees can also offer hiding spots from predators and, importantly, from competing Draco lizards. It's in these leafy havens that the boundaries of territories are drawn and the intricacies of life and competition play out. The ability to glide is not just a means of transportation, it's a survival strategy intricately tied to their habitat. The forest floor, a place of heightened danger from larger predators, is a realm Draco lizards seldom venture to. This vertical escape route into the trees is their entire world. But life in the canopy is not without its challenges. The constant threat of avian predators such as eagles and hawks require Draco lizards to be ever vigilant. Their camouflaged appearance, blending seamlessly with the tree bark and leaves, is a crucial adaptation. Even their gliding can be seen as a silent flight strategy, minimizing noise that could attract attention from above. Another way they hide from avian predators while gliding is that although there are a number of species of Draco lizards, their coloration seems to coincide with the colors of falling leaves that are predominant in their own specific environment. Now, the biggest question, though, is how do they do it? How do these lizards transform from terrestrial creatures into aerial acrobats, especially ones without wings? So let's dive into the physics and biology behind their remarkable flights. At the heart of their ability to glide are elongated ribs. Yes, ribs. Unlike any common lizard, Draco lizards have the ability to extend ribs outwards at will, stretching a membrane of skin attached to their sides, known as the patagium. This transformation is close on instantaneous, turning their bodies into a makeshift wing the moment they leap into the air. What's truly remarkable is how these lizards control their glide. By adjusting the angle of their ribs and patagium, they can manipulate the air currents around them. This isn't just falling gracefully. It's controlled, deliberate, albeit not powered, flight. Researchers have found that Draco lizards can glide for distances of up to 60 meters or 200 feet, a significant achievement considering how small they are. Over those 60 meters or 200 feet, the lizard will only lose about 10 meters or 33 feet in altitude. That gives them a 1-to-6 ratio. Imagine the length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool, though. That's the distance these tiny gliders can cover in a single leap. But the mastery of their skyward journeys doesn't end with just distance. Draco lizards are adept at steering mid-air, using their tail as a rudder to navigate through the complex canopy landscapes. This precise control allows them to evade predators, chase after mates, or seek out new territories with remarkable agility. So now we know a bit more about this amazing ability, but how does it affect their lives? In the dense canopy where space is at a premium, these lizards turn into vigilant guardians of their domain, using a blend of daring flights and visual displays to assert dominance. Each male Draco lizard lays claim to a specific portion of the canopy, a territory that serves as both its hunting ground and breeding area. These territories are not vast expanses, but rather compact zones rich in resources and optimal for gliding. The size and quality of a territory can directly influence a male's chances of attracting mates, making territorial disputes a common occurrence. When it comes to defending these territories, though, Draco lizards engage in what can only be described as aerial ballets. Intruders are met with swift, gliding charges, a display designed to intimidate and showcase the resident lizard's prowess. These confrontations are rarely physical. Instead, they rely on a series of visual and aerial displays to determine who holds the upper hand or branch. The visual spectacle doesn't end with the defensive maneuvers. Males also use their brightly colored dewlaps, which are extendable throat pouches, as flags to signal their presence and strength to both rivals and potential mates. These dewlaps, which can flash vibrant hues of orange, red, or blue, depending on the species, serves as a visual communication tool reinforcing territorial claims without the need for physical confrontation. Interestingly, though, the use of gliding in territorial disputes is a strategy that minimizes energy expenditure and the risk of injury. By opting for a display of aerial skill rather than direct combat, Draco lizards ensure that they remain fit and generally injury-free, ready to fend off the next challenger or to pursue a potential mate. But what happens when an intruder is undeterred? Rarely, these displays escalate into physical skirmishes, where the combatants will grapple, attempt to push each other off the branch. These skirmishes are generally brief, with the defeated lizard retreating to seek territory elsewhere, and the victor obviously reinforcing his claim through additional display flights. But the gliding cannot just be for moving from one tree to another in search of prey and to protect their territory, surely. You're right, it plays a significant role in their courtship displays too. In the world of Draco lizards, courtship is as visual and physical as it can get. Color, movement, and timing play pivotal roles in the game of love. The initial stage of Draco lizards' courtships begin with a visual display. Males showcase their brightly colored dewlaps, the vivid throat pouch that can be extended and retracted. These dewlaps, which flash colors ranging from striking orange to radiant blues, act as a billboard advertising the male's fitness and readiness to mate. But it's not just about showing off. The frequency and intensity of these displays are carefully modulated, conveying specific messages to potential mates and rivals alike. Alongside these visual signals, males perform a series of physical maneuvers designed to further captivate the attention of the female. These can include a combination of head bobs, push-ups, and even short glides from one branch to another, all aimed at demonstrating their strength, stamina, and the mastery of the aerial domain. It's a rigorous test of endurance, with the most persistent and flamboyant suitors often winning the favor of the desired mate. But what of the females? In this dance of attraction, they are far from passive observers. Female Draco lizards are discerning, often observing the displays of multiple males before making their choice. Their criteria is not just based on the color or the intensity of the display, but also the quality of the territory the males hold. After all, a good territory signifies access to ample food resources and a safe environment for the young. Once a female has made her choice, though, the courtship enters its final phase. The pair will engage in a more intimate series of interactions, including mutual head bobs and tail twitches, which cement their bond before mating. It's a delicate balance of consent and mutual interest, ensuring that the next generation of Draco lizards will inherit the strength of both parents. Interestingly, though, the courtship rituals of Draco lizards also play a crucial role in maintaining the genetic diversity within populations. By encouraging females to choose mates based on a range of displays and territories, these rituals help prevent inbreeding and ensure a healthy, resilient population. But when do the gliding capabilities show up in a Draco lizard's life? Or are they born with the ability? Like most reptiles, Draco lizards do not have a parental involvement in their upbringing. From the time they emerge from their eggs, these young lizards are fully independent, equipped with all the skills they need to navigate their treetop realms. This independence is crucial in a world where the ability to glide can mean the difference between life and death. Remarkably, these miniature dragons are born ready to glide. Within hours of hatching, they're capable of launching themselves into the air, their tiny patagia unfurling for the first time. This early development of gliding capabilities is a fascinating adaptation, and it ensures that even the youngest of the kind can escape predators and find food. It's a vivid demonstration of nature's principle: adapt quickly or perish. But raising dragons isn't just about the physical growth of these lizards. It's about the rapid maturation of their survival instincts. From recognizing predators to mastering the nuances of gliding, these young lizards learn quickly to navigate their green world. But this brings us to the broader topic of adaptation strategies, where the remarkable abilities of Draco lizards offer profound insights into the power of evolutionary adaptation. In a world teeming with threats and competition, the ability to glide is not just a novel trait, it's a multifaceted strategy for survival. The evolution of gliding in Draco lizards showcases an extraordinary response to the challenges of their environment. By taking to the air, these lizards avoid ground-based predators, a critical advantage in the predator-rich ecosystems of tropical forests. This adaptation also facilitates quick access to food sources and mate, crucial factors in the survival and reproduction of their species. Moreover, the territorial and mating behaviors of Draco lizards are intricately linked to their ability to glide. Their aerial displays serve as a dynamic form of communication, conveying strength, vitality, and genetic fitness. And it's a vivid example of how physical adaptations influence social interactions and mating strategies within a species. Now, interestingly, the presence of Draco lizards in the canopy also has implications for the forest ecosystem. By preying on insects, they help regulate pest populations, contributing to the health of the trees they inhabit. These movements across the canopy aid in the dispersal of seeds and pollens, underscoring their role as agents of biodiversity. And Draco lizards, with their remarkable adaptation, serves as a vivid reminder of the wonders of adaptations. Their ability to glide, a testament or a trait honed over millions of years, speaks to the relentless drive of life to adapt, survive, and flourish in the face of challenges. It's a testament to the creativity of nature, basically. Constantly finding new ways to overcome obstacles, exploit niches, and ensure a continuation of life. But perhaps one of the most compelling lessons we can take from Draco lizards is the importance of biodiversity and habitat conservation. These creatures, though small, play a significant role in their ecosystems. They are predators and prey, contributing to the delicate balances that sustain the forest. Their very existence hinges on the health and continuity of their habitat, a habitat that, like many others around the world, faces threats from human activity like deforestation. But I think we'll end the animal spotlight section there. Stay tuned, and we'll jump straight into the technical section in a few moments. I have a special invitation for all you wildlife enthusiasts out there. Are you passionate about the wonders of the natural world? Do you find yourself captivated by the stories of wildlife and their habitats? If so, our free Biome Wildlife newsletter is just the thing for you. Each newsletter is a window into the incredible world of wildlife, packed with fascinating facts, stunning photography, and incredible articles from the field. It's your regular dose of nature delivered straight to your inbox. But that's not all. Our newsletter also features content from the Biome podcast and the website, behind-the-scenes insights, and special offers that you won't find anywhere else. It's a great way to stay connected and informed about the natural world. Signing up is easy and completely free. Just visit our website, enter your email, and you'll be all set to receive your first issue of the Biome Wildlife newsletter. Stay in the loop with the latest wildlife conservation, ecology, and much, much more. So take a moment to join our community of nature lovers and get ready to explore the wonders of wildlife like never before. Sign up for our free newsletter today and let's continue this journey of discovery together. Now, let's get back to our journey. Stay tuned. And welcome to the technical section. This section, we usually dive into the captivating world of some theory, concept, or idea in the world of zoology. And today is not going to be any different. We're going to be diving into gliding, specifically the biomechanics of gliding. Now, imagine moving through the air effortlessly without a flap, riding on nothing more but currents of the wind. How do these remarkable creatures manage this feat? What secrets lie within their anatomy, and what forces of nature do they harness to glide from tree to tree, or in some cases, even island to island? Our journey today isn't just about marveling at these aerial acrobats, it's about understanding the biomechanics behind their silent flight. How does a flying squirrel turn its body into a living parachute? What can a lizard teach us about the aerodynamics and evolutionary innovation? And perhaps most intriguingly, how does studying these creatures inspire advancements in human engineering and design? As we glide through these questions, we'll uncover the stories of various species, each a testament of nature's ingenuity, from the lush canopies inhabited by flying squirrels and colugos, to the open skies that have become the playgrounds of gliding fish. We're set to explore the unseen and the unheard wonders of gliding. So let your curiosity take flight as we delve into the graceful glide. What can these creatures teach us about efficiency, adaptation, and survival? Join us as we unravel the secrets of the sky without ever leaving the ground. As we embark on our exploration of gliding in the animal kingdom, let's first understand what we mean by gliding. What is gliding? Unlike birds that flap their wings to generate lift and propel themselves through the air, gliding animals embark on a flightless journey. They launch themselves from a height and navigate through the air with remarkable control. It's basically controlled falling, all without once beating their wings. But how do they achieve the seemingly effortless aerial travel? The physics of gliding. There's three main forces that come into play: lift, gravity, and drag. Gravity pulls the animal down towards the earth, while lift, generated by air moving over and under the body or gliding membranes, counters this pull. Drag is the force of air resistance, and it opposes their forward motion, which is generated when they jump off of their perch or tree. The mastery of gliding lies in the balance or in balancing these forces to sustain airtime and steer through the air. Did you know that the ratio of the horizontal distance traveled to the decrease in altitude is known as the glide ratio? Animals with a higher glide ratio can cover longer distances with less loss in altitude, showcasing their efficiency in the air. And to give you an idea, the Draco lizard that we spoke about earlier could move or could glide about 60 meters, over which distance it would lose about 10 meters of altitude. This means that it has a glide ratio of about 6-1. But we'll talk more about that later. Let's talk a bit about the anatomical adaptations for gliding. Nature's design is nothing short of ingenious. Gliding animals possess various anatomical adaptations that maximize their surface area to catch the air, thus enhancing their lift. For instance, flying squirrels have a membrane called the patagium, which is also what the Draco lizard has, that stretches from their wrist to their ankles, creating a wing-like surface. This adaptation not only increases their surface area, but also allows them to steer and brake by adjusting the tension on the membrane. Another fascinating aspect of gliding is the role of starting height. The higher the launch point, the longer and potentially further an animal can glide. This has led to some species, like the paradise tree snake, evolving in environments where tall trees are abundant, giving them the runway they need to glide long distances. Now, let's have a look between gliding and powered flight. It's crucial to distinguish between the two. While both involve moving through the air, gliding is essentially passive, relying on initial momentum and gravity for movement. Powered flight, on the other hand, requires continuous energy expenditure to generate lift. This distinction underscores the energy efficiency of gliding as a mode of transportation. It allows animals to conserve energy while still navigating vast aerial territories. Now, as we delve deeper into the world of gliding animals, keep these principles we've just spoken about in mind. But let's look into them a bit. At the heart of gliding in the animal kingdom lies the fundamental biomechanical principles. We've spoken about the forces, the lift, the gravity, and the drag, but let's look a bit more into other principles. Understanding these principles helps us appreciate the complexity and elegance of nature's design. So we've already spoken about lift and gravity. The first principle to grasp is the interplay between lift and gravity. Gravity is a force all earthbound creatures are subject to, and it pulls the glider downward. Lift is the counteracting force generated as air flows over the body's surface, allowing the animal to stay aloft. The shape of the glider's body, though, or the presence of specialized gliding structures like membranes or extending ribs, play a crucial role in generating enough lift to counteract gravity. And one thing that these body structures require is aerodynamics. And gliders often have bodies shaped to minimize air resistance or drag, making them more aerodynamic. This shape helps them maintain speed and efficiency during their glide. For example, the streamlined body of a gliding fish reduces drag as it leaps out of the water, allowing it to glide over longer distances throughout the air, or through the air rather. Then there's the ability to control direction and speed, as this is crucial for gliding animals. Not just for navigating between points, but also for avoiding predators and precisely landing. Many gliders, such as flying squirrels, can manipulate their gliding membranes to change direction or adjust their descent speed. Some species have even developed tail flaps that can act as rudders, adding another level of control during flight. The Draco lizard, one we've spoken about before, has elongated ribs that obviously extend outwards, which creates their wings. What's remarkable is not just its ability to glide, but how it can control the direction mid-air. By adjusting the angle of these wings, or the patagium, the Draco lizard can steer, demonstrating an intricate understanding of aerodynamic principles. Gliding is remarkably energy efficient, especially when compared to powered flight. It allows animals to travel long distances without expending much or any energy. This efficiency is particularly advantageous for searching for food or escaping predators. The energy saved can be significant over time, and it contributes to animal survival and reproductive success. The environment also plays a crucial role, obviously, in the biomechanics of gliding. For instance, thermal updrafts can lift or extend the glide of some animals, allowing them to travel astonishing distances without a single flap. Birds of prey, for example, like hawks and eagles, often utilize these updrafts for gliding, conserving energy during long-distance travel or when searching for food. Now, let's look at the different anatomical adaptations for gliding. The ability to glide through the air isn't merely a consequence of happenstance. It's a result of millions of years of fine-tuning anatomical structures to harness the forces of nature. These adaptations are as varied as they are ingenious, demonstrating nature's unparalleled creativity. One of the most significant adaptations is the development of the patagium, a membrane that stretches between the animal's limbs and sometimes to its tail and neck. This membrane acts like a parachute or wing, and it increases the surface area to catch the air for lift. Flying squirrels and colugos are prime examples, with their patagia allowing them to execute controlled glides over considerable distances. The flying squirrel in particular can navigate and maneuver with precision, adjusting its tension in its patagium to change direction or speed. Draco lizard showcases a different adaptation with its extendable ribs. So whereas the flying squirrel uses its limbs, forelimbs and hind limbs, to guide and change its patagium shape, the Draco lizard actually extends its ribs, which spread out to form wing-like structures. These wings are not merely for show, they're obviously highly functional airfoils, allowing the lizard to glide from tree to tree as it escapes predators or seeks out new territories. This adaptation is remarkable not just for the physical transformation it represents, but also for the way it exemplifies the lizard's mastery over its own biology to manipulate aerodynamic principles. Then there's webbed feet and fins, the amphibious gliders. Not all gliders hail from the tree canopies. Some have taken to the seas and skies. The flying fish, for example, uses enlarged wing-like pectoral fins to break the water's surface and glide through the air, escaping aquatic predators. Similarly, Wallace's flying frog uses its webbed feet to catch the air, turning them into effective parachutes that slow its descent and enable controlled gliding. The Wallace's flying frog not only uses its webbed feet, but also its aerodynamically shaped body to glide. Its fingers and toes are fully webbed, spreading out to create a larger surface area, while the body flattens in flight to maximize lift. This adaptation allows it to glide for distances of up to about 15 meters or more, which is remarkable for a small amphibian. Some gliding animals have evolved tail adaptations that function as rudders or brake systems. The flying squirrel, for example, can use its tail to stabilize and steer during flight, making subtle adjustments to navigate through dense forests with quite agility. This level of control is crucial for landing precisely and for avoiding predation. Now, these anatomical adaptations illustrate how animals have adapted in response to environmental pressures, developing complex mechanisms to glide efficiently through their habitat. These adaptations allow gliding animals to access new resources, escape predators, and spread out both across territories, highlighting the interconnectedness of form, function, and survival in the natural world. But let's look at some of the major groups. Gliding mammals, for example, have, with their unique adaptations, offer us a glimpse into the innovative ways life adapts to exploit every ecological niche. Among these aerial adventurers, the flying squirrel and the colugo stand out for their extraordinary gliding abilities. Flying squirrels do not actually fly, obviously, but glide using a membrane called the patagium, which we've spoken about. This furry parachute allows them to make controlled glides of up to about 100 meters, although typical glides are around 20 to 30 meters. What makes flying squirrels particularly fascinating is their ability to steer and manipulate their glide path by adjusting tension of the patagium and using their tail as a rudder. This level of control is crucial for navigating the forest canopy, avoiding predators, and reaching their nests or food sources. Flying squirrels are nocturnal, and their large eyes enhance their vision in low light, aiding in their nocturnal glides. Some species have even been observed to glow a fluorescent pink under ultraviolet light, a phenomenon that remains a curious subject of scientific inquiry. Then, of course, there's the gliding reptiles. We've spoken already about the Draco lizard, but there is something called the paradise tree snake, and it's among the most astonishing gliders. These serpents take to the air with an elegance that belies their slithery nature. By flattening their bodies into a concave shape and propelling themselves off high branches, they can glide over a distance of up to 100 meters. The undulating motion they perform while gliding, similar to swimming through the air, stabilizes their flight and allows for steering capabilities. The ability to glide is not just a means of travel, but a sophisticated predatory strategy and the method of escape from threats. Research has actually shown that the paradise tree snake can make in-air adjustments to control its direction and the angle of glide, showcasing a remarkable level of aerodynamic control. Scientists studying these snakes have been inspired to develop robotics that mimic their unique form of locomotion, demonstrating the potential for bio-inspired engineering solutions. There's also a few other flying or gliding reptiles like the geckos, but we'll look to them in a subsequent episode. Then there's the gliding fish. The Exocetidae family, commonly known as flying fish, have adapted wing-like pectoral fins that allow them to break the water's surface and glide through the air. This adaptation serves primarily as an escape mechanism from underwater predators, and it enables the fish to cover distances of up to 400 meters in a single glide. During this flight, they can reach heights of over 1.5 meters and speeds exceeding 70 kilometers per hour. Flying fish can increase their time in the air by beating their caudal fin, which is on their tail, on the water's surface to gain speed before re-emerging. This unique behavior, coupled with their aerodynamic bodies, maximizes their glide distance and is a stunning example of how life adapts to survive. Then there's the gliding frogs, which we've spoken a bit about. Wallace's flying frog. A standout amongst gliding frogs is Wallace's flying frog, with webbed feet that spread out to create air-catching parachutes and a skin flap that extends along its limbs. This frog can glide for distances of up to 15 meters or more. And this capability not only aids in evading predators, but also in moving between trees in search of food or mates. Wallace's flying frogs are not only known for their gliding, but also for their vibrant green coloration, which provides camouflage among the leaves. When in flight, its large webbed feet and skin between its limbs becomes visible, and this turns the frog into a living glider. The species is named after the famed naturalist Alfred Russel Wallace, who co-proposed the theory of natural selection, and it is a testament to the wonders of adaptation. Gliding animals, particularly mammals, like flying squirrels and certain gliding marsupials, play a crucial role in seed dispersal. By gliding from tree to tree, these animals help to spread the seeds of the fruit that they consume, thereby aiding in forest regeneration and expansion of plant species. Not only increases plant diversity, but also contributes to the genetic diversity within forests, as seeds are dispersed over wider areas than they would be through gravity alone. The gliding movements of these animals are so efficient that they can cover significantly larger areas compared to non-gliding animals, making them invaluable in seed dispersers or as seed dispersers. In some cases, the survival of specific plant species are closely tied to the foraging and gliding habits of these animals. The ability to glide also influences predator and prey dynamics within an ecosystem. For prey species, gliding is an effective escape mechanism, allowing them to quickly put distance between themselves and predators. This not only increases their chances of survival, but also challenges the predators to develop more effective hunting strategies, which thereby drives evolutionary adaptations on both sides. Gliding animals contribute to habitat connectivity by moving effortlessly between fragmented patches of forest or islands. This connectivity is crucial in maintaining biodiversity, as it allows for genetic exchange between populations that would otherwise be isolated. By facilitating movement across fragmented landscapes, gliding animals help to sustain the genetic health and resilience of species populations. And understanding the ecological roles of gliding animals underscores the importance of conserving their habitats. Forests that support the diversity of gliding species are often rich in biodiversity and play crucial roles in ecosystem functions such as carbon sequestration and water regulation. Well, I think we'll end this episode there. If you want more wildlife content, be sure to check out our website at biomemedia.org and consider signing up for our free newsletter. Or if you want to get involved in conservation, become a member or a biome hero. 100% of all profits go towards saving species on the brink of extinction. There will be a lot more content and a community of like-minded zoology enthusiasts on there, as well as giveaways, photos, and contests, and expert Q&As. A lot of new things this season, so be sure to stick around and follow us on social media at biome.media. And don't forget, we love hearing from you, so please do keep in touch. For now, though, we'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 8. Don't forget to send us your stories with regards to gliding animals or your pictures of your pets that can glide. Until next time, though, remember to always ask questions.